Starburns Audio.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Well, not sexy, but real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
We're going for it. We just went for it.
We're there now.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah, you're sick. You talked about... Talk about coronavirus.
Yeah.
Get coronavirus.
Get into it.
Snitches get sniffles. That's what happened right there.
Oh, God. Yeah, I felt like shit for like over a week. Katie and I both. Our whole building, our neighbors are sick too.
Yeah, it's coming.
But I don't understand that. Like, we don't have air conditioning, so there's no like AC ducts.
Doorknobs.
No.
We got a mutual doorknob?
No.
Mutual trash can?
No. Mm-mm. I don't know. But literally everybody in our building is sick.
Well, I'm glad you're here then.
Yeah.
Glad you're sitting right across from me in my home. I'm glad that's what's happening right now. There it is. Good timing.
Yeah. I'm okay. What's up, dude?
I was going off on some putts.
What happened?
All right. Well, if this either comes out this week or next week, which will be a Super Tuesday in California, where you vote in the Democratic primaries. And, all right, you know, I had my issues with the census dude coming by.
Yeah.
I just don't like coming, unless it's Halloween mm-hmm. and I got decorations out and you're saying trick or treat. Stay the fuck away from my house.
Yeah.
And by house, I mean apartment.
Mm-hmm.
House just sounds like it makes a point, but I don't have a house. I have an apartment.
Well,
but just fuck off.
You have a quarter of a house.
Yeah, but like my home. Mm-hmm. My home. How about that? Stay away from just fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come to my door.
Agreed.
And I don't have a no soliciting sign up. That's on me. Mm-hmm. Ordered some immediately after this shit went down.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's fine enough, but a dude coming to the door... Knocking on the door in the middle of the day.
When was this? This week?
Yesterday.
Okay.
Asking if Rachel's here first. I'm like, what's this about? Like, oh, I'm like campaigning for Bloomberg, which, I mean, hate whoever you want, but just, it could have been anybody. Except Bloomberg is just paying, is buying as much of the election as he can. Capitalism, baby.
Speaking of which, just a real quick aside, last night's debate.
Didn't watch it.
Apparently, an abnormal amount of Bloomberg supporters in the crowd, and now the rumor is that he paid for them to be there.
Why not? Yeah. Why not, you fucking billionaire?
Mm-hmm.
You're a billionaire that wants something? How do you get things when you're a billionaire? You buy them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get to be. You buy things. That's what you do with that much money.
Yeah.
I was reading something of all the stuff he could have bought. Like he could have like cleaned up Flint's water crisis with the amount of money he spent on his campaign.
Jeez.
Like take that money, put it anyway. So that like was already like Bloomberg. Like fuck you. But then the guy, whoever it was, he looks at me. He's like, you? I'm like, all right, recognize me. Okay. But I didn't. I was not overtly rude, but I was like, oh yeah, we're not voting for him. And he's like, you? I'm like, huh? He goes, oh, never mind. Like, all right. And I closed my door. I knocked on my neighbor's door. Their dog starts barking and everything. So I, last night, I made a tweet. Why do I keep going back to that digital cancer? So this is what I wrote on Twitter last night at like 11 o'clock. It said, an excellent way for politicians to earn my trust is by calling my private phone number or sending uninvited strangers to my home who know my name. Now, I made no mention of who mm-hmm. that was about or like what form, you know, could have been about. You know, you get texts like, hey, do you want to? I got a Bernie text. Like, I'm like, I'm going to vote for the dude, but never contact me mm-hmm. on stuff that I want to be private,
mm-hmm.
which. I found out it's on voter logs, but like, shouldn't, I voted using my information.
Mm-hmm.
now you can take that and come to my house? Because this motherfucker, 9 minutes after that tweet goes out, I get a message on Instagram. Now, this was a tweet. I get a message on Instagram. And let's go ahead. I mean, this stuff is all on Twitter if you want to find out about it. So how was that? Well, maybe it was like 20 minutes later. I think it was like 10 after 11. So at 11:30, your message says, "Hey, I only knew your name because I recognized you. The rest was from the party registration rolls." That wasn't, sorry, didn't mean to weird you out. Mm-hmm. That was just, this is here. It's how I know who you are. Uh-huh. And so the point of my tweet was, I would think, I thought it was, maybe I'm not being clear, but it's a little creepy mm-hmm. to come to my house and know who I am and then use that to solicit vote. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I didn't ask you to come here. Mm-hmm. And I would like to be private. Everything else I do has to be public for everybody. When it's private, I like it to be private.
Is that a common practice? Like, I understand, like, the concept of, like, canvassing.
Yeah.
I always thought that was just like, hey, stranger, are you voting? And if you are, consider our candidate.
Yeah.
But you're saying, like, so he didn't come here for Kyle Kinane, but he asked for Rachel.
Yeah.
So they know who they're contacting.
Knows who's here. Uh-huh. Yeah. They know who they're going to. It was like, oh, these are probably Democratic voters, and we're a Democratic candidate, so let's go to these houses to contact them. I just don't want anybody coming here. Mm-hmm. Don't come to my fucking home.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know why that's absurd. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that's a ridiculous thing to just not want to be bothered in my home.
Well,
regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm. People don't like to be solicited outside the home. I can't
please solicit me signs.
When I'm trying to go to the grocery store and there's somebody with a clipboard. And I always say, yeah, people, I don't like to be solicited. Sorry, whatever you're doing.
I blatantly ignore him. You're coming into my space.
Mm-hmm. I told a dare lady one time that drugs have done a lot of good for me.
Good. Then, yeah, throw it. But and I'm sure they even love that. Because then, again, if you're just hired to do that, mm-hmm. I'm not going to try and be a monster to you.
No.
But understand that you're a nuisance.
Yes.
And get ready for that.
No one wants that.
Get ready for that.
Yeah.
So this guy hits me up by saying that, and I write back. I'm like, so you're responding to my post from one social media platform where I wrote about feeling bothered and creeped out by unsolicited strangers by contacting me on a different social media platform explaining why you know who I am and where I live. And I write, would this make you feel safe if someone did this to you? Mm-hmm. Hey, I know you. This is how I know you. Let me find you online after I've already been to your home. And you wrote something that didn't mention me by name, but about being feeling weird that people know where you live. Let me find you online, too.
And it's not like you tweeted at that individual.
Not
at
an individual.
Or even the candidate.
I didn't mention a candidate. I didn't even say this happened today at this time. I mm-hmm. just said by far. Just a mention of that campaigning using people's personal information. I don't like it. I think it's shitty. Mm-hmm. The candidate, Nithya Raman, if I'm saying her name right. Like, it sounds like good because people are just like hosting, like, hey, I'm having her at my house. Everybody come here at this time to meet this candidate. Instead mm-hmm. of going out and pestering your neighbors, invite your neighbor. If you believe in that candidate, invite your neighbors into your home.
Yeah.
So then this fucking bitch, he was a dude, so just know that. He goes, lots of people know where I live if they want to look. I did it over here, meaning Instagram, because this was private instead of me saying in public on Twitter, hey, everyone, I know where Kyle lives. I just came over to let you know the info is part of publicly available voter rolls. Also, dude, do you have any idea how many houses I saw yesterday? I have no idea where you live. Okay, you fucking cunt. How about this? How about, yes, you can absolutely message me on Twitter. Strangers do it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't respond all the time, but they can. So that means you didn't even try. So fuck you for that, number one. And then, oh, it's all publicly available. Cool. But that means, oh, I'm just going to look up somebody's name. And I don't like that, but cool. Thanks. Also, dude, you come now I'm dude. This is representative of Michael Bloomberg in the second direct message to me. Okay, dude, you have no idea how many houses I saw. Sorry, campaign rock star. I didn't know you were shaking that many hands and kissing that many babies. You fucking twat. So I write back. I'm like, Twitter has messages too, dude, in quotes. Anyway, thanks for reminding me to buy no soliciting signs for me and my neighbors, you bothered. Hope Bloomberg is paying you well. And then he writes back, you can't DM on Twitter if you're not mutuals. Yes, you fucking can.
Yeah, you
and
can.
That's proven wrong. Also, no soliciting signs don't apply to people who aren't selling anything. Is that a fucking threat? Because you are soliciting. You're soliciting my vote. You fucking, oh, you fucking ball garbling fuckface. And then he just goes, whatever, I was trying to be helpful. You're apparently just trying to be mad. I'll show myself out. And I replied, get fucked, creep. And he has since deleted his Instagram.
Get fucked, creep.
User not found on Instagram. So I don't know, maybe he changed his name or something. But I know it's a little angry old man.
Yeah.
But I had, you know. There is, and yes, I am going to vote, because there is a crazy homeless population of crazy people that come up and steal mail and steal packages and knock on my back door, which you could only get through through a gate, and I had to get in almost a physical altercation with a guy who wouldn't leave right when I moved in. And then the census person who I had to ask multiple times, is this a voluntary survey? And they would say yes. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. And they would keep returning to my home. And that's a government employee that would not take no for an answer. So I'm sorry if I want you to stay the fuck away from my home. Mm-hmm. And then for when I know you're just a bought fucking Bloomberg slut, just trolloping your dumb ass around, vote for this guy because he paid me money. Fuck you, dude. And then I'm fucking pissed. Fine, get a no soliciting sign. It doesn't mean anything because I'm not soliciting anything. I will fucking mace you. Can I just mace somebody? I can't. I can't say that. I can't mace somebody for being, but I got signs coming now. We'll see if I got signs that say no soliciting. I got signs that say no soliciting of any kind. Politics, this, that. I don't really want the no candy one, because if you had Girl Scout cookies, I'd probably be all right with that. But even then, God bless those entrepreneurial young ladies that are setting up in front of pot shops and making bank.
Yes. Are they doing that?
There's a few places.
Huh.
Yeah, good for you.
By the way.
Anyway, so I went off being, that's me. This is my old man rant.
Girl Scout cookies have slacked off lately. They changed the recipe or something.
Really?
They're not as good as they used to be.
Thin mints? Maybe
I had
the tastes are changing,
man. I had the peanut butter ones on the Samoas, and I don't know, just pretty underwhelmed. I don't know.
I have not noticed the change.
We each have our cross to bear.
Rachel made banana bread. I made banana bread French toast today.
Way to go, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
Rachel made it the other day, and it was real good. I tried to make it today, and it was not as good. Mm. It just tasted like I dropped some banana bread and some scrambled eggs. I think because the spatula started melting halfway through. It was an old spatula, so I think I got a little plastic in there.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful with that.
Yeah. Got a little plastic on
there. Plastic spatula's no good. You can up your game.
Yeah. So we're working on it.
Well, other than that, how's everything going? Good tour?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We were out for, what, about 2 weeks?
No, only a week.
Oh, just a week? Okay.
Me and old Shane Torres, many thanks to the folks that came out to the shows and hung out. It was a real good time.
I see a bunch of them sold out.
Yeah, I should be more appreciative of the good things, but you can like the bad things and appreciate the good things.
Absolutely.
I just got riled at the dude's indignant attitude, like, I did nothing wrong other than bother you at your home in the middle of the day. And if it was a candidate you believed in,
exactly,
that would even mean more. As opposed to
earnestly believing in Bloomberg.
No, old billionaires, we got to root for them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, hey, you know what? Get paid. But also, then why would you even seek me out? Get your paycheck and fuck off. You know? Why are you so bothered by it? It means you either like Bloomberg or you're an asshole, or both.
Well, and when you take a job like that, you got to expect a little bit of resistance. Like, who's fucking happy to see that guy?
But maybe this is very arrogant on my part, but for this dude to take the step of reading a tweet that I don't mention anything about it, assuming it's about him, then finding me specifically to not apologize by, hey, man, I didn't mean to creep you out, just by pointing out that anything I was creeped about should be confirmed by, look, it's me. I found you, and anybody can find your address if they want to.
Yeah.
Double fuck you. Cool. Give me your address then, dude.
Yeah.
Give me your address. Anybody can find it if they're looking for it. Give me your full name and address and your phone number.
Yeah.
and I'm going to call you whenever I want when I have questions about Michael Bloomberg. I mean, I know it's the old Seinfeld bit, but that's like one of those jokes that it's like.
It's so perfect.
It's.
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't want people calling you at home. Now you know how I feel.
Yeah. Oh, God damn.
Well, especially in this day and age where, like, even things that we wouldn't mind to be face-to-face, like, everything is done over email or phone. Like, it's just odd to face-to-face, to knock on doors for something like that.
I mean, just because it's a method, an age-old method, doesn't mean it's good.
It seems so inefficient.
Yeah, and I just need more signage. I just don't know. Nobody's like, oh, man, I love solicitors.
Yeah, nobody.
Like, the lack of a sign shouldn't be like, oh, well, how could you get mad? There's no sign. The fuck away from my home.
I despise anybody with a clipboard. Like, just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's why the old joke is you can get in anywhere with a clipboard because everybody's going to be like, man, that guy's got something going on. Yeah. They're not going to bother you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, real angry get off my lawn, literally.
Speaking of get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Oh, I've taken What'd upon myself do? To, I'm the neighborhood watch captain now.
That's what you were before.
Not officially, but I'm cleaning up the neighborhood.
What do you mean not officially? You haven't been sworn in?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a government-held position?
No. Two nights ago, I'm hanging out. It's about 10 o'clock on a weeknight.
Yep.
And I just hear outside. I live on kind of a, not a busy road, but, you know, a fairly well-traveled road, both with pedestrians and vehicles. So there's always a lot of traffic of some sort.
Glad you cleared up, you know, heavily traveled road. But, well, how are you saying there?
Yeah.
Oh, vehicles.
No, I mean, there's
pedestrians?
A lot of foot traffic. There's a lot of foot traffic, and there's a lot of cars. Anyway, okay. So, you know, you always hear a little bit of chatter outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And I live near some bars, so, you know, that's going to create a little bit. But two nights ago, I'm hanging out. It's about 10 o'clock, and I just hear outside, fuck!
All right.
About 5 seconds later, fuck! About, did it a third time. And on that third one, I'm like, all right, I got to get up out of the old easy chair and investigate.
Yeah.
And the building next to mine, there's just somebody right out front in the middle of the road. Fuck! Like, top of his lungs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just full blast. So I take a new approach, you know, given my, I try to have good conflict resolution skills, but sometimes,
well, I mean,
you know.
You've given a lot of people information.
So I took a new approach. Here's the thing. Somebody's got to do something, okay? Mm-hmm. You can't just have people just screaming. This isn't like, hey, please turn your radio down a little bit. This guy, top of his lungs, fuck!
Homeless guy, street individual?
No, I walk out on the little stoop, and it looks, it's just a dude, about a little older than me, maybe 45. Looked like one of those, like a 50-year-old frat boy.
Yeah.
You know the vibe I'm talking about? Like 45, 50 years old, but you know, the polo shirt and the shorts and the sockless shoes.
Yeah.
Anyway, party boy. Anyway, old party boy. But just screaming, just like 10 times, fuck! So instead of like being aggressive about it, and he was drunk as shit, obviously, I could tell.
Yeah.
But I walked up to him. I go, hey, man, everything okay? And you could tell he was about to like bow up and get aggressive. He goes, what?
We can't have you punching anymore.
No, I'm not.
You just moved into this place.
Exactly. I said.
So you went outside. You went.
Yeah, I approached him.
Okay.
Because you got to solve the problem one way or the other.
All right.
You can't just. Certain things, you can ignore and turn a blind eye. But this is a neighborhood, and there's a guy screaming at the top of his lungs at 10 o'clock at night. So no one else wants to do anything. Old Dave will handle this. So I take a different approach. I go, hey, man, couldn't help but notice you're screaming. Is everything okay? Mm-hmm. Are you in pain? Is there an emergency? I took the good Samaritan angle.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was just like confused. And I go, look, man, I heard you screaming. I just want to make sure you're not in any danger. And then he's just like, oh. And then like he dropped his guard a little bit. He goes, I just don't know where the fuck I am. I go, what's the problem, man? I just want to go home. And he almost like started crying, like he's just so drunk that
he was yelling, fuck.
God, I just want to go home. So I took like, instead of the aggressive, like, hey, shut the fuck up, man. I was like, hey, man, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
What can I do to help? I just want to go home. I was like, did you call an Uber? Huh? And he had his phone. I was like, do you know where you live? And he's like, I want to go to Pine and Fifth.
Yeah.
I was like, so I grabbed his phone, called him an Uber, waited 5 minutes. Uber came. And then he just starts hugging. I'm a Marine. He was a former Marine. You're a good man. Just hugging me. And then I'm telling the Uber driver, like, hey, man, this guy's drunk as shit. I don't know who he is. Who's just out on the street screaming. Yeah. I was like, hey, man, your Uber's here. Do me a favor. Two things. Don't throw up and don't be rude to this guy, okay? And also stop shaking my hand. But totally defused the situation.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good thing.
You know, I wasn't trying to be aggressive about it, but like, you got to – this can't just go on. Somebody's got to intervene and take care of this problem. And I was proud of myself that I handled it in a very calm manner instead of a – not that I just go around being aggressive.
Drunk people are weird creatures. Mm-hmm. We've all transformed into them.
But just screaming, just like – but so instead of the aggressive, I was just like, I just want to make sure you're okay. Like in reality, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could just see in his eyes, like, do I punch this guy or what do I do? Like, he wanted to be aggressive.
Especially if it's like a Marine thing, like, you don't know what that guy's seeing.
I mean, I respect Marines. They're badass.
Well, just like what kind of PTSD? I mean, there's some video of some guy that was a road rage incident somewhere down south where the base was. And the guy was like going ape shit. The guy was sitting in his car filming him, but he was like losing his mind. He's like, get out of the car! Mm-hmm. Trying to rip his rearview mirror off. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, this could be roid rage maniac, or it could be just some PTSD incident. Doesn't make it right, but it made it very dangerous. Mm-hmm. So good job on handling that.
And like, there were people walking by, and then he was like, even when he was sober, I'm sure he's probably, I felt like he was kind of a shithead because he was making like sexual remarks to women. And I was like, hey, man, we don't need that. So I was like trying
to,
hey, dude, don't do that. And I was like apologizing to he said a couple things to a couple women. We should double team her. No. We're not out here trying to
don't rope me in.
No.
Thinks
let's,
you are.
We got one problem here. Let's not add creep guy on top of it. And I was just trying to quiet him and trying to calm him down. And he was just so confused. Like, is this guy my friend or my foe?
Fuck or fight. I don't have a range of emotions. It's only fuck or fight.
But I, just minding my own business. And a problem arose. And because I was willing to engage in a calm manner, I solved the problem. So, cleaning up the neighborhood.
Good job on that, man.
Yeah. So,
good job on that.
Good for me. Got some other interesting news here. Give you a Barbara update. Remember Barbara from a few episodes ago?
Barbara. Oh, Barbara.
Barbara.
Like your barber?
No,
I'm
sorry.
What's
Barbara.
What's going on with your barber?
I'm sorry. Barbara.
I didn't remember this being a compelling story the first time through, and you're wearing a hat. What happened? Yeah, Barbara.
Some sad news. Barbara has a dog. Even though she's said on multiple occasions that she hates animals. I fucking hate animals. Okay, well, it's great that you got a dog.
Yeah. Just got one?
No, she's had it for about 6 months. But she doesn't take care of it. You know, she always drops it off.
Really? The lady who doesn't live with her own children and doesn't take care of her dog?
Imagine that. Imagine that. And so her son was in town to visit his grandfather. Mm-hmm. Barbara's father.
Nobody's buying this fucking
So the son, and I like the kid. Kid's a cool kid. Yeah. And he was supposed to come visit Katie, you know, because she's like his aunt.
Yeah.
You know, they're very tight, like an aunt.
Everybody's almost like relatives in the story.
Yeah. And he couldn't come because of bad news. This dog's riddled with cancer.
All right.
And they were going to put him down. Mm-hmm. So he can't come visit because his dog has got cancer, and they're going to put him down. And the boy was really upset. And the boy even asked, and this is really sweet.
The dog lives here in California.
Yeah, lives with Barbara. But she's like, she quote unquote got it for her son, even though he lives in another state. So anyway, and so the kid's upset. He's crying because his dog's got to be put down because he's riddled with cancer. He even asked Katie if Charlie, our dog, wanted to come say goodbye to their dog. Like, that was really
sweet. Sweet move.
You know, and the boy's crying and the boy's upset. And he canceled the visit between the boy and Katie. And Barbara completely made up that story. Dog didn't have cancer. Dog doesn't have to be put down. Just, hey, here's, I'm going to fucking lie. I'm going to make my own son think that his dog has cancer and has to be put down tomorrow. Bravo, Barbara.
Just to not let her.
Either that or just, I don't. The question we want to answer is like, was she really going to have the dog put down?
Oh, just to get rid of the dog.
Just to get rid of the dog? There you go, Barbara. There you go. Bravo. Dog didn't even go to the vet. There was no, it's not like he got tested for cancer and then she prematurely said he had it and before the test came out. No. Nothing wrong with the dog.
How's anybody give this woman a grain of salt for anything?
Yeah, exactly. Good
question. Like, including her kids at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine what it would be like to have to be a son, be like, you're garbage and I gotta cut ties for my own well-being. Like, what's, I mean, outside of the visiting the grandfather.
The kid's crying. The kid's
wanting
our dog to come say goodbye to his
dog. Psychologically manipulated your own kid. That's real fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's Barbara, everybody. Good job. Well done.
What's old granddad saying about it?
Granddad's, and here's the other thing. Now, even after that story, she's just dropped the dog off with granddad. Granddad, who can... just now can barely take care of himself, is now taking care of this dog just because, I don't like the dog. You take him.
What kind of dog is it?
It's an English bulldog.
Yeah.
Cute, just big, dumb, stupid, slobbering bulldog. But she got the dog when Katie got Charlie, just to be like, fuck yeah, I got a dog too. Even though she doesn't care about anything or anybody but herself. She's not a warm and fuzzy animal person.
Yeah.
Just, I got this stupid dog. So because she got tired of taking care of the dog, I'm just going to make up a story. It's tell everybody that the dog has to be put down because he's got cancer. And I'm going to look my own 14-year-old son in the eye and tell him that too. And then like the next 24 hours later, he's like, I just made that up.
She said she made it up.
I don't know how it came to light that story was total bullshit. I guess she admitted to Katie or somebody.
You talked to her son?
Yeah. And he's like, okay, I guess he's not dying. This poor kid.
Yeah, have those kids come out of it without being...
And they're great. They're good kids, man. Some miracle. Their dad must be doing a great
miracle
job.
Is the dad is doing some heavy lifting.
There you go. I'm just going to make up a story about your dog dying of cancer.
Oh, boy.
Apropos of nothing, just because I'm a fucking piece of shit. So, that was fun. That was some exciting drama.
Do we even talk about anything about the boogie monster anymore?
I don't know, man. I got some new towels.
Well, that's not getting us closer to the theme of the podcast.
Waffle weave. You ever heard of waffle weave?
No.
It's a towel. It's like a quilt, basically. It's a new technology in towels I'm very excited about. Dries you off real good.
New or new to you, Dave?
Yeah. New to me, I guess. You want to talk about some boogie stuff?
Yeah, I think we owe the listeners. Yeah. I don't think we've gotten any this year. Well, I mean, we talked about the pandemic, which is...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get
man,
it.
You can find two sides of that. You can either find the real freak out shit or the calm down, we're fine.
2,700 deaths now. The death toll's up to 2,700. When we first started talking about it a few weeks ago, it was like double digits.
Well, and people think that China's lying about the numbers.
Oh, really? Why do they think that?
Because it's China, and they don't want people to think it's bad. China's fucked.
Oh, lying about the numbers, like not as bad.
Deaths, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant they were...
Yeah, China. Yeah, China fudged numbers on everything. Mm-hmm. I think they just like doing that.
Yeah, but latest as of this recording, just over 2,700 deaths. See. Now there's a bunch in Korea. I think there's some in Iran. And there's some story that broke this morning about how the Surgeon General, the U.S. Surgeon General, is warning us to be prepared that there will be an outbreak in America.
Yeah, I saw something like that, and then you're here fucking sneezing on my shit. Wasting my time getting mad at some idiot trying to tell me to vote for a billionaire because they know how to fix things. There's nothing good. There's nothing good, man.
Well, let's talk about something, all right?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
This is kind of an obvious one that a lot of people know about, but I never really investigated much about this dude. But I wanted to educate myself a little bit on Nostradamus. I always heard about old Nostradamus.
Old newsy doozies.
One of my favorite scenes in Sopranos, Bobby Bacala and Tony, you're talking about 9/11 or something, mm-hmm. and Bobby goes, "You know, Quasimodo predicted all that shit." And Tony's like, "What? Quasimodo?" He's like, "Nostradamus." Oh, okay.
I do like the habit of throwing whatever. Weird name sounds like a weird name.
Michel de Nostradamus, also known as Nostradamus, 16th century writer, apothecary, supposed prophet. He believed many of the world's four. He's believed to be the world's foremost authority on prophecies. His followers credit the French mystic with predicting the future, many world events, and in his cryptic passages called quatrains, he wrote this book back in the 1500s called Les Prophéties.
Oh boy!
Basically, the prophecies. He was said to be able to predict the future through a combination of astrological study and divine inspiration.
Oh, astrology and bullshit.
Exactly. He had a long study.
What a combo.
Long studied and supposed relationship between the movement of heavenly bodies and earthly events, and he claimed an angelic spirit helped him understand how these forces would manifest themselves. He sought out inspiration through various forms of meditation, generally focusing in on fire and water, possibly while under the influence of mild hallucinogens such as nutmeg. Never heard of that.
All right, well, I'll look up that part.
He started tripping on nutmeg. He would meditate late at night. He also claimed he would see and understand events in the near and distant future. And, of course, the problem with old Nostradamus is all his predictions are fairly vague, you know, where, you know, it's just like where the, well, you know, open to interpretation. You make it vague enough, you could take any event and try to connect those dots with it. But it's also speculated that he did that on purpose. He purposely made his predictions vague in order to defend himself against allegations of witchcraft, you know, back in 1500s.
Defend himself against allegations of being full of shit.
Well, but that makes sense. You know, they were always trying to burn witches, you know, anybody who...
Oh, yeah, I don't want to be too accurate with my predictions. Because people think I'm a witch instead of people believing that I could see the future.
But that was a thing, I think he wrote about how he made them vague just so people wouldn't think he was... My question is, how does that work? How can you predict...
I'm still trying to find out about nutmeg.
But anyway, I got a few predictions here that he made that some people think were accurate. And again, fairly vague, but let's get into some of these. He apparently predicted the death of Henry II. The quatrain reads as this, quote, "The young lion will overcome the older one. On the field of combat in a single battle, he will pierce his eyes through a golden cage. Two wounds made one, then he dies a cruel death." Now, the way this is interpreted is...
let me guess, a new country beats a bigger empire.
Well, yeah, stuff like that.
By breaking through some walls.
King Henry II, the older one in that quatrain, of France lined up to joust field of combat. The Count de Montgomery, who's the young lion. Both had lion emblems on their shields. On their final pass of the joust, Montgomery, his lance burst through King Henry's visor, and two shards, two wounds made into one. One through the eye, pierced his eyes through the golden cage. One through the temple. King Henry II, he suffered 10 days before dying in his bed, and that could be he dies a cruel death. So that's how that one's
interpreted. They all died a cruel, nobody died a decent death in the 1500s.
But, okay, so like, I mean, yes, it's vague. The young lion will overcome the older one. Yeah, that could apply to any transition.
The mighty oak is eaten from the inside by its termites.
Field of combat in a single battle.
Sure, why not?
Pierce his eyes through a golden cage. They said, you know, King Henry II wearing a golden visor. So, yeah, you know, pretty vague. He apparently predicted the Great Fire of London.
You know, pretty
vague. Great Fire of London. Here's how it reads, the prediction. Quote, the blood of the just will be demanded of London, burnt by fire in the year 66. The ancient lady will fall from her high place, and many of the same sect will be killed. Now, this is interpreted a small fire that started in a bakery in London, September 2nd, 1666. So, you know, he got the 66 part right. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Resulted in a three-day blaze that consumed the city, burnt by fire. The blood of the just could refer to the millions of rats that were killed.
That's how things burn, is by fire.
Well, that's true. This part is odd. The blood of the just could refer to the millions of rats that were killed, and many of the same sect will be killed. But, okay, the 66 part is impressive.
Malcolm X said that a penny matchbox full of nutmeg had the kick of three or four reefers.
Really?
Yeah.
How? What do you just swallow it or snort it? What do you do?
I guess I think you eat it.
Hmm. Here's an interesting one. All right. Some say that he predicted the rise of Hitler. Now
everybody's trying to get a piece of Hitler.
Here's how this one reads. From the depths of west of Europe, a young child will be born of poor people. He who by his tongue will seduce a great troop. His fame will increase towards the realm of the east. Beast ferocious with hunger will cross the rivers. The greater part of the battlefield will be against, he calls him Hister, H-I-S-T-E-R, Hister. Into a cage of iron will the great one be drawn when the child of Germany observes nothing. Now, this is interpreted. Hitler was born April 20th, 1889, Western Europe, to very poor parents.
420, bro.
Yeah, there you go. From the depths of the west of Europe, a young child would be born of poor people, so part's accurate.
I'm calling Austria Western Europe.
Yeah, that's Western enough, right? No?
It's like dead center.
Oh, okay. What about
that? Omaha.
Was it Western back then? America. I don't know how. I don't know.
It was never Western.
No.
If anything, it was Eastern. I don't know where that went.
In the years after World War II, Hitler moved to Germany and rose as a leader through his over-the-top oratory skills. So that, you know, who by his tongue will seduce a great troop.
Myth. He's a myth.
You know, but like he was a great speaker. I mean, what he was speaking about was atrocious, but he was good at he was good at what he did.
That's why he was good. He'd make a terrible subject if you could sell it.
Let's see. Hitler drew an Axis alliance with Japan. Quote, his fame will increase toward the realm of the East. Then the German army invaded France. Beast ferocious with hunger will cross the rivers. They think that these beasts could be interpreted as tanks. Going to cross the river. And he defeated, and defeated by the Allied powers, the greater part of the battlefield will be against Hister. So, you know, there's some stuff there that could...
But all this stuff is like, all right, is it like the Bible where all the texts have been translated and rehashed mm-hmm. and re-put into, convenient translations? Mm-hmm. But all right, some of the stuff a little.
Yeah, yeah. Got a few more here, good ones here for you. The atomic bomb. May have predicted the atomic bomb. Near the gates and within two cities, there will be scourges, the like of which is never seen. Famine within plague. People put out by steel, crying to the great immortal God for relief. All right. Near the gates within two cities. That could mean Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I get that. Two cities. He found two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of this is
how many
stretch.
Did he make a lot of?
I think in that book, the book, I think, had nearly 1,000.
So he's like three for 1,000.
That's the thing. You know, you make enough predictions.
He's whipping them off.
Some of them are going to come true just by coincidence. JFK and RFK's assassinations. The great man will be struck down in the day by a thunderbolt, an evil deed foretold by the bearer of a petition. According to the prediction, another falls at nighttime. Conflict at Realms Long and pestilence in Tuscany. I don't know what Tuscany's got to do with the JFK thing.
It was the mob.
JFK.
The mob took him out.
Oh, there you go. The great man. That might not be far off. The great man refers to, could be referred to as JFK there. He received numerous death threats, an evil deed foretold by the bearer of a petition. I don't know how that's a death threat. And was gunned down in the afternoon of, as we all know, November 22nd, 63. Struck down in the day by a thunderbolt. All right. It was daytime, obviously, when he got whacked. Thunderbolt could be, obviously, the bullet. Then, as we know, Bobby Kennedy was killed just after midnight.
Bobby.
5 years later, in 68, another falls at nighttime. So one brother gets struck down during the day by a lightning bolt. The other brother falls at nighttime. Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
The prediction of Nostradamus. Mm-hmm. Could be.
9/11. Quote, earth-shaking fire from the center of the earth will cause tremors around the new city.
I'm going to fire up these fucking weirdos.
Will cause tremors around the new city. Two great rocks will...
He's from the 1500s. Every city's going to be new if he's set in the future.
Two great rocks will war for a long time. Then Arethusa will redden a new river. Two towers could be the...
I'm looking it up now, but I bet you Arethusa's got to be some sort of screamo band. How do you spell it?
A-R-E-T-H-U-S-A.
All right.
Arethusa.
Let's find out. Let's see what we get.
Screamo.
All right. Nothing in the first Google hits, but I was a nymph and daughter of Nereus who fled from her home and blah, blah, blah. All right. Arethusa. Band. Let's see. Come on, man. Come on, Google. Give it to me. All right. Hold on. It's a live track. I don't know if it's going to be good. Hold on. Arethusa. Yes! I was fucking right!
Holy shit!
Oh, guess who's Nostradamus now?
Wow.
Your boy Kyle. Kyle Stradamus. Kyle Stradamus could predict that a fucking screamo band was gonna cherry pick some dog shit out of a Nostradamus book to call their band Arethusa. I'm impressed with how close, how perfect I got this. Yeah, this band is not popular. This video was published August 1st, 2013, and it has 1,700 views. So that's not like I would have known this otherwise.
Yeah.
Be scared of me.
That's pretty good, buddy.
Oh, my God. Five rivers will converge. But only one oar shall navigate them. Who's calling
Answer
me right
it.
Now? I'm doing... No, it's not.
God, it's my... Bloomberg's people.
It's Bloomberg. How much is it going to cost you to take down that shit you put on Twitter? $5 million, Blummy.
So...
Pay me $1 million, you trash.
You know, these could be interpreted as like, oh, yeah, he nailed it, or it could be... Yeah, a number of events could fall under those predictions.
I'm interpreting them.
Let's talk about this. He all, like I said, near 1,000 of these quatrains in that book. Some of them relates to present day, 2020.
Well,
these are
yeah.
apparently Nostradamus' predictions for the year 2020. He predicted that a great earthquake would hit the American continent sometime in the year 2020.
Well, maybe it'll swallow up all the coronavirus.
Yeah. I mean, that's spooky. Like, to nail it down to a specific year, that's, like, the only one that I mentioned there that I'm really kind of impressed with is the Great Fire of London, because he said in the year of 66, that happened in 1666. So,
1666?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he died in 1566. All right.
So that's interesting. But, yeah, he says in 2020... The American continent going to be hit by a great earthquake. The economic crisis in 2020. He supposedly foresaw how 2020 would be marked by a major economic crisis, bankruptcy, recession, dark times from the global economy. He also, I don't have the quatrain relative to this, but he apparently foresaw the 2008 crisis, economic crisis. So,
yeah, or you could just look that at everything is cyclical anyway,
mm-hmm.
and be like, yeah, things ebb and flow.
He's believed to have predicted hundreds of years ago how the global sea level would change the world in 2020. Like all this climate change talk.
I mean, all right.
He, let's see, what else we got here? Oh, yeah.
What else we got
here? He stated that parts of what we now know as Antarctica will melt, causing the global rise in sea levels by several meters.
When did they discover Antarctica?
Not long ago. Like early 1900s, late 1800s, somewhere in there?
That's when it was explored, but they knew it existed.
Oh, really?
I'm looking it up now. 1773.
Question.
So he didn't even know Antarctica was there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else he...
That's more recently than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So he predicted Antarctica would melt without knowing it was there.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
What did he say about Antarctica? He just said that it's going to melt. Parts of it are going to melt, causing sea levels to rise several meters.
What did he call it?
I'm sure he just said, like, the frozen land.
Fuck this, man.
Just be vague about it.
Fucking, yeah, be vague about everything.
Here's some other...
The shining light of 1,000 torches shall beam downward instead of upward, revealing the crown of a new hope. It's like fucking Star Wars movies. That's all he's talking. Did he predict that his language would make Star Wars insufferable? Did he do that? Because that's what happened.
Here's a few predictions from other folks, other than Nostradamus, that could be interpreted as coming true. Nikola Tesla. He predicted Wi-Fi and mobile phones way back in 1909. Did you know that shit? He said...
You mean the scientist predicted some science stuff in the field of science he was studying?
Yeah.
That's believable.
100 years before it happened, though.
Yeah, but that's not... That's theorizing that technology will advance to a point that it could develop this. Just like people are like, we're going to have flying cars.
Okay, yeah.
That's not predicting the future. That's going, look, we got airplanes, we got fucking cars. Eventually, it'll be the same thing.
In 1909, Tesla said it will soon be possible to transmit wireless messages all over the world so simply that any individual can carry and operate his own apparatus.
Yeah, and if you want to interpret that, you can do that. It's called smoke signals. Here's a match. So it's these are not as elusive of ideas.
Mark Twain predicted his own death. He was born
suicide.
Is that how he? How did
I don't
he die?
Know.
No, I don't think he died of suicide. In 1909, Mark Twain's biographer Albert Bigelow Payne quoted Twain as saying, "I came in with Halley's Comet in 1835. It is coming again next year, and I expect to go out with it." The day after Halley's Comet showed up, the day after Mark Twain died. That's pretty interesting. He was born the year of Halley's Comet, and he said, yeah, I'm going to die when it comes back. And he did.
I mean, I also believe that if you're old, you can just not commit suicide and be like, I'm done.
But don't you think, I mean, a day after Halley's Comet showed up, he died. That's pretty
cool. Well,
he didn't die of suicide.
He's a writer. You know, he knows about story. He knows about nailing a moment, you know?
But what are your thoughts? I know this stuff's vague, but
I thought it was mostly debunked as being vaguely interpreted and rewritten to serve the purposes they wanted to serve.
What purposes?
Just like going to the Bible, like you can finagle the words the way you want to. Like I'll still listen to Coast to Coast once in a while,
uh-huh.
And it's nuttier than squirrel shit. But it's like when the hosts are like, all right, no, like when they shut down their own guests. And they had one guy just arguing that the Bible was completely mathematic.
Uh-huh.
And this dude was just would not budge on the idea. Like, well, no, the numbers are in there. He said, if two, then four, and that is 86, because two times four is 8, and 2 plus 4 is 6, and so 86, and then 1986, this happened. And the guy's like, that doesn't mean anything at all. Mm-hmm. the host was like, that's no. Hmm. If people want to find it, it's, I'm sure some of it's very similar, and I wonder, I want to see what was what the actual text was on September 10th. You know, does that exact quote existed September 10th?
Which one?
Of the one that predicted September 11th.
What about on September 10th?
No, I mean like the day before, or did somebody all of a sudden find, like, of course, it, oh, of course, okay, it's, I see what you're saying. That's something that you can check against fact or check against the text. Mm-hmm. And it was what, the two rocks, the new city, and the rocks tumbled or something.
Yeah.
On a date? Was there a date in it? Just an idea?
Well, actually, yes. There was one thing I read that said in the year of 99, and obviously that's 2 years off.
Yeah, but here it
but
is.
Then there was some information about how they were using a different calendar, and that 99, when he said 99, once we use this new calendar, it would equate to 2001.
So. Okay. See, a new calendar. Earth-shaking fire from the center of the Earth. I'm reading the prediction now. Earth-shaking fire from the center of the Earth. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. Will cause tremors around the new city. Earth-shaking fire, that should be.
Center of the Earth. New York's the center of the financial world. That could, you know. Seriously, that's not too big of a stretch.
The center of the Earth. Earth-shaking fire from will cause tremors around the new city.
New York.
Okay, New York. So it's the center, and it says two great rocks will war for a long time, meaning will combat against each other. But this is now conveniently the two great rocks are buildings, and then the Screamo band will run the new river. I think it's all, it's like everything else, if you want it. Mm-hmm. A great man will be struck down the day by a thunderbolt. So we're supposed to believe this is the JFK one. An evil deed foretold by the bearer of a petition. So that means somebody already predicted that he would be killed. Mm-hmm. According to Brunetta, falls at nighttime. Conflict at right.
I mean, the Hitler thing's pretty interesting. A young child will be born of poor people. I know that's vague as hell. But by who? He who by his tongue will seduce a great troop? Like, I mean, he was obviously, that was his whole thing. He was able to rally a whole country, and with all his terrible propaganda, his fame will increase towards the realm of the East. I don't know what into a cage of iron will be, will the great one be drawn. I don't know what that means. But yeah, some critics of Nostradamus talk about, obviously, about it being vague, but also about him just...
I think it's fun.
He would stay away from specific dates, so that would help his cause. And just a lot of it was like, you know.
Why didn't he predict like other shit? Like, why didn't he just predict like massive events that you could vaguely tie, massive long scale events you could vaguely tie in and I think move the pieces around. Mm-hmm. But if he could tell me like that Papa John was going to say the N-word. Like, that would be a very specific, like, that, like, Father Jonathan of the Circular Empire will fall from grace after disgracing a legion of followers. You know, like, that's like, somebody show me those.
The father of spiced meats and cheeses.
Yeah.
Will die by his own dough.
Yeah, the server. The server of round sustenance. Like that. Like, that's what I would want. Like, that's. Nobody's researching those predictions. Like the lesser known predictions of Nostradamus.
In the year 19 of 20. Mm. A great sandwich made of foul will overtake the great country.
That's what I want to, like, Foodstradamus. Nostradamus. It's Nostradamus. Food predictions.
Oh, my God.
That's, because, see, that, like, that's like, you know, God, nope.
That's funny.
And he was there's probably a guy who figured that out, but it wasn't as, like, it wasn't as much of an event as predicting 9/11 with your vague, oh, there was two rocks and the new city. Anyway.
Oh, my
that's,
God.
That's my take on it. That's where I'd go with it.
Well, we've talked about this before. All the predictions that The Simpsons, they predicted a lot of stuff that came true, like Donald Trump being president. You heard about that, right? We mentioned that before.
I think. I mean, that was... Yeah.
There was one, too, where Milhouse predicted who would win the Nobel Peace Prize, and it came true, like 10 years later, something like that. Yeah. That's some weird shit.
Yeah, I'm looking that one up.
There was another one. I don't have the notes.
I mean, but, like, admittedly, though, if you're, I mean, the genius enough of a comedy writer to be on The Simpsons and going over all the idea, you know, possible outcomes for comedy, like, that's a mindset going to just, all right, what's a scenario to create jokes?
Mm-hmm. Nostradamus, I don't have these notes in front
of me. Donald Trump was already an egomaniac enough to want to run for president of the United States.
True. But there was some prediction about the 2016 election where he said, I'm paraphrasing, but like a masculine woman will take on a boisterous egomaniac or something. And people are like, oh.
Who said this? Flanders?
No. Oh, God. My computer's fucking up.
All right.
You hear about, let's touch on this real quick. I'm trying to pull it up. Old Rocket Man died.
Oh,
you about that shit? Poor bastard.
Hats off to that idiot.
What, Mike somebody.
Mad Mike.
Mad Mike. Homemade rockets. Fucking.
Yeah.
There's a video of it, too. Have you seen the video?
Yeah, I don't need to see
it.
It
goes
video.
Up.
Did it come down? Did the homemade rocket not make
then
it?
It came down with a big thud, like way, like
that's
a couple hundred
that's
yards away.
I was joking. Like you're going to deny science, but you built your own rocket. So you kind of need the science for that part. Oh, it didn't work. I can't believe it.
But good on him for going out like that, you know? Like, you know, if he had to go, at least he died doing what he loved.
I mean, somebody, I did make it, going back to Twitter, I did make a joke, and I forget who wrote back. Like, he died doing what he loved, denying science. Like, there's not a lot. I understand not wanting to make fun of somebody who recently died, but come on.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's video of it, too. Just, I don't know. It's kinda...
I read he had the world record for the longest limousine jump off a ramp. Like, yeah, you can get a record if you're the only one who does it. That's not a record. You need a challenger.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, this one's for you, Mad Mike.
Yeah. Good job, old Mad Mike. Right. I don't know if Nostradamus predicted that. That's something that sounds like a prediction.
Yeah, you know? What we got? We covered like four. I mean, he's got 996 other ones that maybe are coming true in a smaller capacity out in the world.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's got a comic of the week this week.
Oh, we haven't had one of those in a while.
I don't know this guy, but sadly passed away recently. A lot of my friends, whose opinion I respect. Spoke very highly of a New York comedian, Steve Whalen. Did you hear about old Steve?
No, I don't know who that is.
He was a New York comic, apparently just a real nice, affable dude. Went by the nickname of Mr. Jokes. He was kind of a throwback, kind of a vaudevillian, Catskills type, you know, Henny Youngman type.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
His catchphrase, I think Henny Youngman you know, originally, I think he borrowed Henny Youngman's catchphrase. I love this crowd. Mm-hmm. He would open every show with, I love this crowd. He was known as Mr. Jokes and just apparently just a joke machine.
He's like a younger guy, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know exactly what happened. It was medical. I don't think it was drugs or self-induced.
Somebody's
– I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think it had something to do with like a seizure or something like that. But very highly respected in the New York scene. Just tons of jokes. Went by Mr. Joke. Steve Whalen.
Oh, man, he's a young fella.
Yeah, and but he's got an album out, and I've listened to it, and it's just, yeah, he's Mr. Jokes, man. Just so many just goofy, quick one-liner, just pop, 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 rapid-fire jokes. Whalen, W-H-A-L-E-N, Steve Whalen. Look him up. I think the name of the album is I Love This Crowd. So, yeah, rest in peace, dude. Always sucks when one of our own goes down, but yeah. Very highly respected in the New York scene. So.
Clicking a year over old Brody.
Yeah.
A year or two.
That was a year.
Two.
Yeah, just last week. So, it sucks, man. But yeah, Steve Whalen, check him out. I've watched some of his videos and just a big lovable goofball, and unfortunately passed away. So, rest in peace, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, bam. Yeah, okay.
Man. Not to bring it all down.
Hey, that's all right.
But, yeah.
After we started the episode, we're like, fuck this garbage fucking nut gobbler. Fuck yeah. For daring to come to my house. I want to be like, yeah, be nice to people.
Yeah,
you don't
be
know
nice to folks.
Yeah, all right. I should take my own advice.
Yeah, man. Anything to plug? What you got? You got dates coming up?
Oh, nothing I love more than plugging my own dates right after announcing the death of... co-workers.
He wouldn't mind.
I don't even know when this is coming out.
I don't either.
Go vote whether people come to your door to tell you to or not.
When does California vote? Is that part of Super Tuesday?
Super Tuesday. Super Taco Tuesday. Is I think you just vote for who you want the Democratic candidate to be.
No, I'm saying, but this Super Tuesday isn't every state. It's like 14 states or something like that. Well, watch out.
I'm not the guy to talk to about this stuff. I just know when I want to be bothered and what I want to be bothered about.
I got some random dates coming up in March, in no particular order. Chicago, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
Where are you playing Chicago?
Detroit, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Chicago, I'm playing North Bar.
Yeah, you like that place.
Yeah, I like that. They're good to be down there. So
nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, dumbdavestone.com. You can get all that. Also, people still emailing for the biscuit recipe and stuff like that. I don't mind sending out a little bit. Or you get the whole damn thing. If you want to drop $10, you can get one of my kitchen survival guides. So I feel, you know, if you just ask for the biscuit, I'll give it to you. But
buy
also,
Dave's kitchen survival guides.
Well, you know, you can pay for it. And,
buy the thing. Our TV show isn't getting made. So buy the kitchen survival guide. I'll be in Vermont.
Let's announce that real quick.
I'll be in Vermont, Kingston, New York, Providence, Rhode Island, Hamden, Connecticut, Ithaca, New York, and Toronto beginning of March. We almost had a TV show.
Yeah, we got the news yesterday that it's getting passed on. So,
anyway, that's it.
Would have been fun.
Yeah. Year and a half in the making. Tried to keep it a secret. And, hey, Nostradamus, you didn't predict that one, did you?
Nope.
Fuck.
But I'm sure TBS is going to have some fine quality program instead of us. So, that's fine. I'm not bitter at all. Fuck show business.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we tried.
See you next week.
Bye.
We didn't really for this, but which button? How about
off.
Yeah.
There you go.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.